Chapter 3 Ethan sat bolt upright. Though memories of his dream remained crystal clear, these were for now forced to the back of his mind. The cold stabbing in his chest warned him that someone, or something, with ill intent had passed through his ward. Springing to his feet, he quickly donned his clothes. Whatever was coming, it was moving fast. Thankfully, his ward would enable him to track its movements to within a few yards. After fastening his sword, he exited the room. Two sentries were standing guard outside and immediately turned to bar his path. "There's an intruder in the palace," Ethan told them. "Raise the alarm and protect the queen." They looked at one another, unsure what to do.
"Now!"
His voice reverberated loudly from the stone walls. His reputation and air of authority was sufficient. At once, the men turned and bolted away, shouting continuous warnings as they ran. Ethan hoped this would help to discourage whoever was prowling about. Though the queen was the one most likely in danger, it also occurred to him that he had not made any particular secret of his coming. It was just possible that the uninvited guest might also be looking for him. He focused on his ward. His target was moving east, though without intimate knowledge of the palace layout, it was impossible to say what function that particular part of the building served. He now regretted sending both guards away. As he made his way through the hall, he spotted an older man covered in flour, with an apron thrown over his drooped shoulder. He was just about to enter a wooden door a few yards further down.
"You there!" shouted Ethan. "I need you to guide me through the palace."
The man looked up at him wearily and let out a loud sigh.
"I'm a cook, not a damned guide, and an exhausted cook at that.
You'll be a cook without a queen if you don't help me."
The man paused, a deep frown forming.
"What the hell are you babbling about?"
At that moment, the urgent ringing of an alarm bell began sounding throughout the halls.
"Who are you?"
he demanded.
"Lord Ethan Dragonvane," he replied, "and there's an intruder inside the palace. I need you to help me find him before he finds the queen."
A flash of fear crossed the cook's face on hearing Ethan's name. He quickly nodded.
"Yes, yes, of course, my lord."
They hurried along as fast as the old man's legs were able to carry him. According to Ethan's ward, the intruder was still in the eastern wing of the palace, though his movements had now slowed down considerably. By this point, more and more guards were filling the halls as the alarm bell continued with its strident ringing. 10 guards were standing at the entrance to the east wing. On seeing their approach, one of them raised a hand to bar the way.
"Let me guess," Ethan said. "This is where the queen's apartment is located?"
"You cannot pass beyond this point,"
the soldier stated emphatically. Though he had not answered the question, Ethan didn't need him to. It was obvious.
"The intruder is already inside," he told the guard, with urgency in his tone.
The guard huffed.
"No one has entered this way."
He took a menacing pace forward.
"And no one will."
There was no time for debate. Ethan waved a hand.
"Stilius Temple," he called out,
casting a spell that would render the guards immobile just long enough for them to pass through. Grabbing the astonished cook by the arm, he hurried on.
"Do you know how to get to the queen's chambers?" he asked.
The cook's feet were dragging badly. Wrenching his arm free, he stopped altogether.
"No, I mean, I can't take you there, my lord. I dare not."
"If you don't, she'll be killed."
By this time, the guards had recovered and were racing toward them. Ethan quickly erected a barrier of pale blue light, halting them in their tracks. Already badly unnerved, this latest display of magic was too much for the cook. Clearly terrified, he sank to his knees, sobbing loudly. Ethan could see that the man would be of no further use, and he could sense that the intruder was now stationary. This possibly meant that he had reached his objective. With a growl of frustration, he bolted blindly down the hall, leaving the old cook where he was. Alternative guidance came quickly. After rounding the very first corner, he nearly tripped over the body of a young servant boy.
His head had all but been twisted completely away from his neck. Whoever had done this obviously possessed tremendous strength. The kind of strength that...
Rakasa,
Ethan exclaimed softly. Steeling his nerves, he continued running. Even if he had not been able to sense the intruder's precise location, the six more bodies he came across clearly told him that he was heading in the right direction. Finally, he came to an imposing pair of wooden double doors. The two guards who had been on duty outside were both dead, blood still pooling on the floor around their crushed skulls. Ethan's ward told him that the Rakasa was very close, only a few feet away on the other side of the entrance. His right hand shot out.
Molto Vara!
The doors exploded inward. He knew by doing this he risked injuring the Queen, but he had to do something to distract the Rakasa, assuming the beast hadn't already completed its task. Disregarding all caution, he rushed inside. Dust and debris was still settling as he hurtled across the threshold. The only thing that saved him was the tiniest flicker of movement in the corner of his eye. Instinctively, he ducked his head and dove hard and low to the right. It was as well that he did. Though the sweeping steel blade missed the intended target of his neck, it still managed to cut deeply into the side of his left shoulder. Gritting his teeth against the sudden stab of pain, and while still falling to one side, he cast a spear of fire blindly into the direction he imagined the Rakasa must be standing. An ear-rending screech told him that he had been on the mark. Aware of the tremendous speed of his foe, he threw up a hastily cast barrier the very instant he landed heavily on the hard tile floor. It wouldn't be enough to stop the creature completely, but he prayed it would at least slow it down. His prayer was answered. Ethan looked up to see the black-cloaked figure straining to force its way through the barrier, much as if it were attempting to run while waist-deep in water. This delay was all that he needed.
Hipitsi Moria!
The barrier instantly hardened, snaring the creature just as its sword arm was breaking free from its hold. Ethan sighed with relief, but already he could feel the blood soaking his shirt. Reaching over, he touched the wound. It was worse than he had thought. Self-healing was tricky even for those who were skilled at the craft. For him, it was virtually impossible. He scanned the room, but saw no one.
"Your Highness!"
he called out. Judging by the desk and bookcases, it looked as if this room served as an office or study. A door directly opposite the entrance was cracked open, while another door to his right was shut tight. Ethan called out again, but received no reply. He glanced across at the Rakasa, still straining uselessly against the magic holding it, and sniffed contemptuously. The vile assassin was beyond any kind of healing or redemption. Whatever power Shinzan used to change them, it banished any semblance of their former selves. He knew he should pity the creatures, but he could feel only revulsion and anger. A face peeked out from behind the partly open door. Before Ethan could be sure it was the Queen, a glowing green rod appeared. He threw up a protection spell, but it was unnecessary. A flash of lightning tore across the chamber, passing over his still-fallen figure and striking the Rakasa in the center of its chest. The Queen then stepped fully into the room, a look of absolute fury burning in her eyes. Relentlessly, she maintained her assault on her would-be assassin for a full minute. Throughout this, the Rakasa shrieked out a continuous stream of obscene curses, its already vile features contorted into an even more disgusting mask as it jerked about in violent spasms of death. Only when it became completely still did the Queen allow the rod to go quiet. Ethan released his hold on the now dead Rakasa. Acrid smoke rising from the creature's chest had begun to fill the chamber.
"Foul demon," said the Queen.
Tucking the rod into her sleeve, she crossed over to Ethan. He struggled up to one knee. Blood had now soaked his back entirely.
"Are you hurt, Your Highness?"
he asked.
"Of course not. It will take more than one of Shinzan's dogs to kill me."
The frantic stomping of boots outside the apartment could be heard racing toward them. The Queen offered him her hand. Reluctantly, he took it and allowed her to pull him to his feet. The pain in his shoulder was beginning to throb and burn with an intensity far greater than he'd expected. She moved to his back and examined the injury.
"Nothing a few stitches and some jammer salve won't cure," she announced.
"If you can just have someone stop the bleeding for me, Katyana can heal it."
"So, you are bringing her here,"
she responded, a half-smile forming.
"That should prove to be interesting."
Her smile was still lingering when six soldiers rushed into the room. They at once placed themselves between Ethan and the Queen.
"Escort Lord Dragonvane back to his chambers," she instructed them. "He is in need of a healer."
She glanced over at the Rakasa and grimaced.
"And remove this filth from my sight."
After bowing, Ethan exited the room with two of the guards close behind him. The Queen was indeed a capable woman, he considered, and courageous. The mere word Rakasa chilled the hearts of most people. But she had not flinched in the slightest when faced with danger, though, in truth, he wondered how much danger she had really been in. She had clearly been prepared for such an attack, and possessed a weapon capable of dispatching the creature. With every step he took, the pain in his shoulder was increasing. The blood flow had not lessened either. By the time they had gone only half the distance to his room, he was leaving a steady trail of blood droplets behind and was feeling light-headed. He paused to rip loose his shirt sleeve, at the same time asking one of the guards to help him tie it over the wound. A deep frown formed on the man's face when he saw the injury.
"What's wrong?"
Ethan asked.
"I'm not sure," he replied. "The flesh around the wound is turning yellow."
Poison, he thought. And if so, there was no time to waste. He sent the second guard off to fetch the healer right away, rather than waiting until they arrived at his room. The remaining guard helped him into a nearby library, where he laid him down on a small sofa. After what seemed like an eternity, a short, middle-aged man pushing a cart filled with various vials of liquids and powders entered. Without a word, he hurried over to Ethan and rolled him onto his side. After cutting away the binding, he examined the wound carefully. The healer let out a long breath.
"You're very lucky, young man," he said. "This particular poison is produced here in Altheona, so I have the means to treat it."
Reaching over to his cart, he picked up a vial of yellow liquid.
"Here, drink this."
"What is it?" asked Ethan.
"It will put you to sleep while the poison leaves your system."
He pushed it away.
"I'd rather not."
The man chuckled.
"You say that now, but I assure you that you'll change your mind very quickly. The treatment is quite painful."
Ethan shook his head.
"I don't care. I need to stay awake."
The man shrugged.
"As you wish. But remember, I did warn you."
He rose and began mixing together several powders and liquids inside a small stone bowl. The Queen arrived just as he was sitting back down beside Ethan. Her face was expressionless, but her eyes held a glint of worry.
"I'm fine,"
Ethan assured her before she could speak. She looked to the healer.
"Can he be moved?"
"Not yet, Your Highness."
Scooping out a portion of the paste he'd concocted with his middle and index fingers, he turned to his patient.
"Are you ready?"
Ethan nodded, suddenly wondering if he should reconsider his decision not to make use of the sleeping potion. But it was too late now. The paste had already come into contact with his wound. The effect was instantaneous. How he managed to stifle an agonized cry was impossible to say. It felt as if a red-hot branding iron had been pressed deep into his flesh. For more than a minute he sucked hard through gritted teeth, still battling to maintain a brave silence. But the pain was spreading all the way down his arm and back, slowly enveloping his entire body in its fiery grip. Eventually, it was more than he could bear. A loud moan escaped, after which he buried his face deep into the sofa cushions.
"How long will he be like this?" asked the Queen.
"At least 2 hours," the healer told her. "The antidote has to run its course until all the poison is reached."
He raised Ethan to place a bandage over the gash and tied it securely. I can't stitch the wound until it's over, but he should make a full recovery. The Queen regarded Ethan for a moment.
Very well. I will expect your answer as soon as you are able.
Without waiting for his response, she swept gracefully from the room. Even when he thought it could not possibly get any worse, the pain increased. Ethan threw his head back and let out a full-blooded cry. As his body went rigid through it all, he was still aware of the firm but gentle hand of the healer pressing on his chest. He was able to open his eyes just enough to see the man's face. Where previously he had appeared stern and uncaring, his sympathy and concern were now clearly evident.
"Are you sure you won't take the potion?" he asked.
Ethan wanted to reply, but another wave of pain robbed him of his voice. He could only shake his head. The healer chuckled.
"Of all the stories I've heard about the mages, none would have prepared me for someone as stubborn as you. But I suppose I can understand why you wouldn't want to be drugged. Being a mage in this age can't be an easy thing."
He regarded Ethan for a further few seconds.
"No, definitely not what I expected."
Even without the sleeping potion, Ethan still found himself drifting in and out of consciousness. Sweat soaked his hair and clothing as the salve continued to do its work. He couldn't be sure how much time had passed before the pain, mercifully, at long last, began to subside. Eventually, although moving with all the feebleness and fragility of a very old man, he was able to sit up and change into a pair of cotton pants and a new shirt left for him by one of the servants. The healer escorted him back to his chambers and sat with him for a short time, then ordered him to rest. Ethan was in no condition to argue. Even so, with the worst now over, his mind would not relax just yet. Through the window, he could see the first light of dawn appearing. The gathering brightness became almost a symbol of his now much clearer thinking, the knowledge of what he must do evident in his dream. He would agree to the Queen's conditions, but only if she would wait until after he had defeated Shinzan. He would give her his solemn word. In exchange, Queen Barathis would muster her army and aid in the fight. Any lingering pain had now been replaced by extreme fatigue. Even so, as sleep began pulling him in, his thoughts resolutely fought to stay centered on Kat. How would he tell her? How could he make her understand? He could lie, but she would see through him in an instant. But how could he tell her the whole truth? Search as he might, he found no answers.